Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're not exactly half of what we used to be, but it does feel like a unplugged version of Sabres Live today. We are WGR 550 exclusive. We're back on MSG tomorrow. That's
tomorrow,
how
Mark. Media day and our studio is being used. So yes.
But I mean, exciting week. How can you not be pumped looking out at the weather right now to get this new work week kicked off? But we have an amazing pet adoption event the Sabres are hosting at the arena. It's this Saturday, June 14th, 10 to 2 at KeyBank Center. Attendees are encouraged to bring a new or unopened bag of dog or cat food to the event. Food collected at the event is going to be donated to the participating rescue organizations, of which there are so many who are so awesome in our community. Learn more about this pet adoption event at sabres.com/pet adoption. Just exhaling here at the distant sound of rain.
That's okay.
It's all good,
you know,
right?
It's important that there's
I
a cycle.
Get it out of the system now.
Yes.
Because I want to be thoroughly entertained and dry on Saturday night at Highmark Stadium when Parker McCollum takes to the stage, followed by Chris Stapleton,
yes,
followed by the King, George Strait. So, yes, let's get it out of the way now.
Open the skies up now and then blue skies for Saturday, and it will be all fine. Now, there will be fashion statements made for an outdoor concert.
My daughter already asked me what I was wearing.
Yes, I'm like, exactly.
It's going to be pretty low-key ball cap and denim. I think you know that.
But that's what it's like. I get that. Like, that's what I would do too. Like, okay, I would say that's a statement because you're going to a big country affair. You want to be comfortable. And yeah, like a, you know, ball cap, denim, maybe a plaid shirt, something that's in there. You know, I do have my cowboy hat and cowboy boots that I bought in Dallas at the Darlene draft that I could always, like, for these moments, could bring them out. But I'm not going. And number two, this is not the fashion statement that I want to talk about. So this, tune in on Wednesday, by the way, because Wednesday is going to be the Marty Rantanen days, where at 12:30 every Wednesdays I'm going to have a rant. This could be considered a mini rant, but I want to know from you, Duffer, have you noticed the NHL Stanley Cup patch on the jerseys in game 1 and 2 this year?
I only noticed it when I saw the close-up of McDavid and
yes,
how displaced it becomes because of the size of the C on his jersey.
So because of the advertisement on the team's jersey. So that goes to the right shoulder pectoral, right pectoral area. And the letter, the C or the alternate captain, usually going to the left. Now it leaves kind of a dilemma to as to where you put the patch. The patch usually would go on the right pectoral, so everybody's got it and that's fine. But now you have advertisement on the right side, you have the C or the A on the left side. Now you have a little bit of space to put the patch between the C and the logo. It looks very odd. So my thinking was, why wouldn't they just put the patch on the shoulders? You know, like for the Oilers, or can you do it differently for both teams? Because the Florida Panthers have the numbers on the shoulders. Like their numbers aren't on the arm, they're on the shoulders. So now Florida has something on the shoulders and they have something on the chest. And it's like, oh my God, where, like, do we need that patch at all? And I get it, right? I get it. I have my Stanley Cup jersey from 99 from the Sabres. It has the patch on it. It's great. It's special. It's unique. But can you find somewhere else that doesn't look ugly? Because that's what it looks like right now. It looks ugly. If you look at McDavid, his jersey, the patch looks out of place. It almost looks like Connor was like, I want the patch on my jersey, and grabbed a flat iron and put it on himself and ironed it on and was like, okay, we're good, right? So shoulders would have been great. You know, find a different way to display it. Maybe you take off that advertisement. I get it. That's a lot of money. But if the NHL wants
that ain't happening.
That ain't happening. I get it. But find it, put the advertisement somewhere else. Put it in the back below the names or something. Like, you know, do something, but it looks bad. So there's my small Marty ranting in for today. But it's more of a fashion statement. Like your superstar Connor McDavid is being photographed and it's going around the world and people are like, what is this here? Does that look weird? That patch? Like, it looks odd. Like, that's what it looks like.
Good news is Connor seems completely unaffected by the fashion dilemma, as he has produced 5 points in the first two games of this year's Stanley Cup final.
Was that the play of the playoffs? His assist to Draisaitl? Was that the play of the playoffs? The more, like,
yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know. I marvel at it, at so much, and some of it doesn't see the light of highlight reels in the same way that I view the game. But yeah, I mean, it was spectacular. It was almost inevitable, based on, if you know, how close you were watching at that moment. You can sense often these types of plays, and it was magic. It was stunning. It was, I guess, as great a piece of art that you could ever hope to hang in the Hockey Hall of Fame, really.
So I saw a tweet today from, I think it may have been from the Bills, but it was basically because Madden 26 going to come out. It was like Josh Allen's spectacular plays, but made into the Madden, you know, ways. Remember when he got the pass back and dove into the end zone or whatever? Yep. Like, I couldn't wait. I can't wait for NHL 26 to come out and put that play on their, you know, social media ads and whatever, like McDavid, different angles, rotate, see him come in, cut in and out. Like, that's amazing. Here's another, like, spontaneous trivia for you, Duffer, in a way. And maybe the number doesn't have to be right there, but how many penalties were called in the first period of game two?
Zero.
Well, no, it was 11. Okay. Like,
I'm not keeping track, obviously.
Will there be, that's you being sarcastic and saying like zero, but will there be 11 penalties called in the rest of this Stanley Cup final? Like, 11 penalties were called in the first period of game two.
I hope that they continue to call at a higher rate. And I hope many of them are goaltender interference penalties.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Sam Bennett.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor it. I mean, we can do it again tomorrow postgame because it will undoubtedly be a talking point somehow.
Will he do it again tonight, you think?
Well, sure, he has a greater than 50% chance that he's not going to get called, in my opinion. So,
did you think that was a penalty on Bennett, though? Because he got pushed.
Who cares? Like, I'm not going to change my tune after what we discussed after game one. Like, yeah, it's Sam Bennett. I'm never, ever, ever going to give him or Corey Perry or anybody else the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not going to slice it down to frame by frame, millisecond by millisecond. Like, we all know how these players are wired. This is obvious to me, but whatever. That's just me not having to wear the stripes. So
here's another thing I thought, goalie specific. So when Bennett fell on Stuart Skinner grabbed his leg right away because Bennett fell on his leg. But there was also a bit of a whiplash action on Stuart Skinner that looked like he may have hit his head on the post, but he grabbed his leg. Here's my advice to all NHL goalies, because we all know, and maybe it's a bad advice, but I'm just saying, we all know that concussion spotters are paying attention. You know, goalies are being removed. If you get run in, if you get a big contact, first thing you got to do is grab another part of your body. Grab your leg, grab your arm, don't grab your head, because then, regardless of if you're hurt or not, they may pull you. But like Stuart Skinner grabbed his leg, there was no debate that, oh, he hurt his leg. Like, and then you watch it again, you're like, oh, maybe he hit his head on the post. Maybe there was whiplash. But he grabbed his leg, so there was no debate. I'm saying, if you're a goalie, just to be safe so you don't get pulled, you know, yeah, have the trainer look at you. And when the trainer gets to you and you say, I hit my head a little bit, but I, you know, just want to, you know, be safe. Grab another part of your body so you don't get pulled mid-game by the concussion spotter.
Jeff, can you clip that off for future promos? Thank you.
Grab a part of your body.
We did talk Sabres briefly in the first half hour as it pertained to organizationally from a certain height, looking at Pete DeBoer and, you know, and this is not just Sabre, but how any team might look at Pete DeBoer right now based on his availability, but technically no availabilities behind a bench other than Dallas. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about post Combine and Hockey World being in Buffalo last week, and now the inevitable ramp up of more rumors of trading picks and or prospects for current established players as we get closer to the draft, which is then followed just 3 days later by free agency for. Let's do it team specific here.
Okay.
Which of these New York Rangers is most likely to end up a Buffalo Sabre? Keandre Miller, Alexi Lafreniere, Vincent Trocheck, or Chris Kreider?
I would say Chris Kreider. Keandre Miller is such an attractive piece on the back end, but he is a left-shot defenseman. So, I mean, we have so much uncertainty when it comes to Bo Byram moving forward. Do I think I would want to go into next year? Darlene, Power, Byram, Keandre Miller, all left-shot defensemen? No, I would want a little bit of variety in that department. But having Chris Kreider in your top six, the speed, the veteran presence that he brings, kills penalties, I would say Kreider would be the guy that that I would be after. Like, Lafreniere is a good young prospect, but I don't need a young, you know,
and not a prospect.
Project. Well, he's not a prospect, but he's still a project in the sense that
is he?
Well, he started well last year and then it didn't finish. Who is Alexi Lafreniere? The guy that started well and signed a contract, or the guy that finished with very little? And so I think there's still a question mark. I don't want a question mark. And Trocheck, I'd prefer Kreider to Trocheck.
How do you feel about the likelihood of it?
Well, I mean, in my world, in Marty's world, because I know Chris Kreider too, I say I would, and I've mentioned that before. I mentioned that a month ago. So I would be making the call and saying, hey, how can I make that work? The Rangers are kind of in a tough spot cap-wise and roster-wise, and they just, you know, they acquired JT Miller. And so I want to say you could probably sneak that one under the radar and make some good business there for Chris Kreider.
Quick break, back with more on the opening of the week edition of Sabres Live here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Jeremy and Joe.
The weekend.
The weekend.
Almost. Almost.
Yeah. It's 5,000 degrees in this room. Is it just me?
Is it
that I was up late last night?
No. It is a million degrees in here.
Yeah. It's really hot in here. Odd. Anyway, happy Friday. Happy weekend.
It tends to be like before 7 a.m. especially for some reason. It's like this part of the building hasn't woke, or I don't even know. It's just this room, whatever.
I wish I'd got an iced coffee instead of a regular coffee. I can cool my core down here.
Yeah, I'm wearing a linen shirt, so I made the right call. I'm not kidding. I do dress for this room in the morning, like knowing it's going to be 81 degrees in this room for the first 2 hours of the show. Yeah, I'm dressing as though I'm doing the show outside in the heat of July, basically. Yeah.
Outside would be nice. It's beautiful outside. Yeah. It's that window, the time of year where the sun is up at, what, like 5:30? It's light outside.
Yeah.
Really early.
Yep.
Which is nice. So, yeah.
Rather than in the middle of the winter when it's like the 8:30 segment before I even see the sun in here.
I know. Really nice. So, enjoy your weekend. Happy Father's Day in advance, everyone out there. It's 54 degrees now. Not exactly like hot outside, and actually should be cool this weekend. Highs in the 70s. Sunday looks like 78. So, some passing rain here and there. Were you watching last night when Reinhardt scored?
I'm falling asleep before some of these games. I watched it back this morning, though.
That game did go long, even though, and I don't even mean it went into overtime. I mean, the end of the second period, it was late for a game that started at 8 p.m.
I think the reason, by the way, that is happening to me, do you have a streaming platform? Or you don't have, do you have streaming or play your cable?
Streaming, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a streaming platform where you can record, like DVR it or record it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I have. So these games at night, whether the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, I will, while I'm watching it, I will be recording it, knowing, like maybe this is why it's happening to me. In my head, it's like, it's okay if I fall asleep right here because I could just pick the game up from wherever I think I left off in the morning before the show, not look up what happened, which is what I would have done this morning, and go, oh, Reinhardt, at the end, like react to it as though I was watching it live. So I should have just said yes.
Really the same. I was up when Reinhardt scored. I did not see the overtime winner. I fell asleep at that point.
I mean, three overtime games in a series. What are they doing to us?
And one blowout. This one looked like it was going to be a blowout. You know, the thing about this series, this matchup, Florida and Edmonton, so they're tied at two games apiece. Mm-hmm. This goes back to last year, too. It is the, again, without trying to make it about arguing whether or not momentum is real, it is a momentum-proof series.
Yeah.
Because last year, Florida had a three-game-to-none lead, and like, oh, it's over now. Oh, wait, Edmonton won three in a row, and then Florida won the seventh game. Last night, Florida's up three goals to none. 3-3. 4-3 Edmonton. I guess they had all the momentum. Reinhardt scores 4-4. Okay, Florida's got it back, and then Edmonton wins in overtime.
Yeah.
So it is a momentum-proof matchup. You can never, and that probably comes down to, you probably can't bury either one of these teams. You can't bury.
No, they're too good.
You definitely can't bury Edmonton. And Florida found that out. They're up 2-1 and 3-0 in the series. That's the kind of frozen moment in time we use on the Leafs after they lose a series.
Mm-hmm.
You had it.
Yeah.
It was there for you.
Yeah, theirs was. They were up 2-0 in the series and up 2-0 in game 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they lost it.
And this was Florida up 2-1, and they're up 3-0.
Right. If we're Sabres fans, if the Sabres are in that spot, up 2-1, up 3-0, we are coming in today devastated.
Oh, yeah.
You were...
We're looking... Pitchforks are out. Everyone's looking for somebody to go after.
Yeah, because you were just made. It was right there for you.
It really... I mean, that's another classic game last night. Is this going to be one of the best hockey, like, final rivalries of our lifetime?
Yeah.
Like, I'll often mention that, like, I got more into the NBA than ever because Cavs-Warriors was just a four-year battle.
It was so good.
And hockey has not had two opponents like that on the biggest stage at the end, you know, I mean, again, some of these might be basketball examples, but go back to Celtics and Lakers in the 80s. Like, rivalries that become rivalries because you just meet in the finals. Yep. And this is only twice, but look at what these two teams have done through 11 games of finals action in the last year and a half, year and a month, basically. And I don't know that they would meet again next year or the year after, but maybe. I mean, I would take it. I would take it every day of the week to just see these. Just give me these two teams every year battling back and forth.
It is how rivalries are supposed to form, instead of the league giving you a format where they guarantee two teams play in the second round.
Right.
This is how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
Yeah, if you're asking,
where they're actually, they're both like on an equal playing field.
Yep. Yeah. And they get to the same spot every. That's how Bills Chiefs has happened.
Right.
You get to the same spot. You meet in these moments all the time. That might be, I don't know if it's a rivalry for the Chiefs, whatever. But yeah, this
but
is.
But like Panthers Oilers is like, they're one series away from it being a rivalry, right? I don't know if I would call it a rivalry right now, but I think you can get there. I think you could get there even if you're in opposite conferences. If you play in the finals, you get to a third time playing each other. Like, that's an all-time hockey rivalry.
One good question would be, if the Oilers were to win this series and it's 1-1,
yeah,
and then they meet again next year,
yeah,
is it as intense?
No, it's more intense.
You think it's
more
intense?
I think it's
because
yeah, it's like two. It's like two heavyweight. It's Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, and Frazier wins the first one, and Ali wins the second one.
That's
and
right.
I'm not alive for that, but I'm imagining the hype for the third one was like unbelievable,
yeah,
because they each had one. This is like a winner go home game three almost.
I guess the thing I wonder is it bigger if one team is the team that wins? Like the Bills-Dolphins rivalry, where the Dolphins won for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills-Chiefs, why do they always involve the Bills losing? Right, where the Chiefs win all these games. If Florida won again and they meet a third time, I don't know. I feel like as an independent observer, you might get a little bit more juice. The Cavs-Warriors was about how the Cavs were such underdogs, and then they got one.
Right. The Warriors got the first one. The Cavs got the second one. That that helped. That did help it a lot, right?
Yep.
If the Cavs lose the second one and then we go to the third one, yeah, the juice probably isn't quite the same. It still would have been pretty good, but
yeah,
I think it is better if it goes 1-1 in finals.
I would sign
finals
up right now for these two teams to play in next year's Cup final. Like they're great games. I mean,
you'd be guaranteeing no Sabres in the finals, though, if you do that.
You know what? I feel comfortable.
you feel like that's a safe bet.
I feel comfortable. Yes, I feel like I am. I'm not picking up a lottery ticket on the street.
Yeah. No, I would take this too. Also, how about Jeff Skinner leading the game in expected goals last night of any player? Have 79%. He almost had the OT winner.
It would have been incredible.
It would have been awesome if he had the OT winner. And did you see the camera angle from the behind the net or in the net of that sequence where it's Skinner and one of his line mates, I forget which one, are like trying to bang the puck in, and it's sitting there, and Bobrovsky's like out on top of his crease, and the puck goes off a guy's skate, off the post, then it hits someone's stick, then it hits a guy's toe, and then it finally falls under. Like, you can't believe this puck didn't go into the back of the net. So he was very close to getting the winner. But it's Draisaitl again. So
Draisaitl, who has now
four
overtime goals. Game-winning goals? Four?
I think that's right. He's two in the series.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I saw that goal, and on the replay, of course, it gets deflected. So,
yep.
Is Bobrovsky mad? Or is that, to me, that looks like, we'll ask you as a goalie, but that's a defender's laying down, trying to make a play because it's a little mini two-on-one. There are other guys back-checking it. It's a bit of a frantic play because, who is it? Gaffer, that passed it over to Draisaitl. Doesn't even probably mean to get it all the way to him.
Right.
The pass goes all the way across. Draisaitl like finds himself with the puck, and it's not exactly a very sexy shot.
Yeah, it's kind of a
shot.
broken play, backhand shot, sort of shoveled at the net.
Yeah.
So I don't know that Bobrovsky would be mad about it alone in and of itself as a goal, but I think in the moment you probably want to get that.
Yeah.
It goes through him a little bit.
Even if it's deflected,
you're
still mad?
Anything through you don't feel great about, regardless of deflection or, you know, situational factors. Like, anything that goes through five hole, in between your elbows, that kind of goal, is generally something that a goalie does not want to give up ever.
Yeah.
So I would say that he probably wants that one back considering the moment. It's not necessarily his fault, I don't think, but it's one you wanna have that.
Yeah. Tough one for him. The Reinhardt goal, man. When it's funny, Reinhardt and Eichel have probably different reactions around here.
Well, I think Reinhardt is a better approval rating.
I agree. Still. I don't think there is much I hope that guy loses as there is for Jack. I did go down the rabbit hole last night. All I did after Reinhardt scored was I searched the phrase two marshmallows from I wrote it on our website, I want two marshmallows. The idea was the Sabres just drafted Reinhardt. I want them to tank one more time for McDavid or Eichel.
Okay.
And all the pictures of Eichel and Reinhardt together, I saw somebody with a picture of their kids. It's outside a Harbor Center, and there's Eichel and Reinhardt on the sides of two young kids, and the kid's shirt says, the future starts now. It's just... it's so wild to see it. And Reinhardt is different. And I think about him, I think the reason people think about him differently is because while, Jack's divorce from Buffalo was not friendly and it involved surgery and medical situations and really messy stuff, Reinhardt's was just, they don't want to sign me long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had enough of it, so I'm going to leave.
Right.
And I think a lot of Sabres fans would say, yeah, that was kind of dumb that they never were willing to pony up long term for him. And he decided he wanted to leave. And he also got plenty of grief for how they played. He might not have had the best relationship with the media. Some of them were after him a bit. And to see him now, it's like watching, it's like when I watch my dog run full speed in a park. I think, yeah, look at that guy. Look at him go. Look at him. He's free, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did he get the benefit of that, though, with like how the relationship ended? Eichel had the long-term contract, so for him to get out, in the middle of it, like squarely in the middle of it, the only way that probably was going to happen was going to be an ugly one, right? If Reinhardt was... If Jason Botterill did the right thing and had signed him to an 8-year contract in 2017, then okay, when Jack might want out, Reinhardt's into year 3 of his contract instead of I've got 1 year left and I'm not even actually he was a restricted free agent, right? He didn't even have a contract. So, kind of a cleaner break. If he's in the middle of a giant contract, is it uglier? Because I could argue that it would be a lot uglier just based on what the contract would be.
Probably.
He might have to make it ugly to get out. Because he couldn't do the thing that he could have done at the end, which was, I'll sign the 1-year contract with you, but I'm not tied here. I'm not tied to this long term. And I could be a UFA in a year. Frankly, I'm going to go do that. Whereas if he's got 5 years left on the contract, you can't say that to the team.
Yeah, that's right.
So it could be a lot that them not paying him, I think, kind of helps him in his post relationship with Sabre fans. That might be why he's more liked, but not totally, because Eichel was still the kingpin of it, right? Like, as much as it was the two of them, they're riding the tandem bicycle into training camp the 1 year. Remember that?
Yep.
Like, they are together. But everyone knew that Eichel was Batman and Reinhardt was Robin.
And the only, if you want to go really deep into why that is, it really might only be the way in which the Sabres acquired the player and got that pick.
Yeah.
Because the Reinhardt last place wasn't a race and it wasn't close.
Right.
They were just horrific.
They were just really, really bad.
They were just really bad. Right. They finished with 52 points. 52. The next closest team had 66.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
14 points.
You really might get down to the difference between the two is that for one of them, you could sleep through the season and did they win the lottery? No, they're picking second. Okay, great. And for the second one, you had wackos like me coming in here every day and saying, it's very important they lose tonight.
Yeah. yeah. right? And they get that one by what, 2 points, 3 points? There are three teams involved. There's a lottery where, had they won it, it would have been a big deal, as opposed to the Reinhardt lottery. That's Ekblad and Reinhardt and Dreisaitl, by the way, and Bennett. But it's not even just that it's Eichel and Reinhardt. It's that Dreisaitl and McDavid are that year, and so is Ekblad, and so is Bennett. Everybody around that one was much less whatever. I think that's a part of it. You were able to just not be annoyed by the Reinhardt last place and the Eichel last place annoyed a lot of people. But here we are. He scores that goal, and Gretzky said about him last night, Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky said Sam Reinhardt might be one of the smartest hockey players to ever play.
I mean, that was the thing said about him the day he walked into the NHL, wasn't
hockey
it?
Hockey IQ.
Hockey IQ guy.
I remember
and
something
is,
else.
Like, but like, you do see, like, he, it's why that power play for Florida works so well, because he's in the high slot and he is always making the right read. He's always making the right decision. I mean, even his game-tying goal, he actually makes the right play and then it ends up bouncing back to him. He scores. But how many guys there, they might score anyway, but how many guys there would get the puck off that cross-ice pass and would just rip it right into the goaltender? Whereas the play he makes, where he has the mindset to see Tkachuk is in the slot, and instead of me ripping this from this angle, if I just tee this up for him, then that's a better scoring chance. Like, he already has seen that, mapped that out in his mind before that puck has even arrived. And then it goes off Tkachuk's skate and back to him, and he ends up scoring. So the play he's trying to make, you know, he gets fortunate, I guess, that it comes back to him. But that's one even there where, like, he's making a pass to that slot that I bet less than 5% of players in the league would make. He's definitely one of the smartest players in the league. I don't have a ranking ready to go of who's the smartest NHL player ever, but
people would say Gretzky, right?
Probably.
He's one of them. And here's Gretzky saying, yeah, him.
Yeah.
He's one of them. I remember one other famous, not exactly as famous as like Wayne Gretzky saying it, but I remember Kevin Devine with the Sabres at the time.
Okay.
Talking about Reinhardt maybe that draft year before they drafted him, saying he's a playmaker that's as good at right now, like at the junior level, as good a playmaker as Sidney Crosby. That's what he said. Maybe he was as good a passer as Sidney Crosby, something like that. Because, you know, it was just like, whoa, all right, this is an NHL personnel person saying Crosby.
Yeah. Well, isn't the IQ thing, the thing you hear about Zach Benson more than anybody on the Sabres, maybe even since Reinhardt?
It's how he made the team, right?
It's 100% how he made the team. And listen, there are not, you know, I'm not saying Benson's going to become Reinhardt and score 57 goals one day.
Who will he do it for? Sorry. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
But he, like, one, Reinhardt wasn't even in the league yet. Remember, he showed up and played, he played his 9 games for the Sabres in the tank season. So after he gets drafted, and he doesn't do anything, and he gets sent down. Like, clearly wasn't ready, so he goes back down. And even, like, I remember him early on. Like, his shot wasn't really there. It's definitely better than what Benson's is right now. But, like, I was looking at a stat the other day from Evolving Hockey, EVD, which is, like, how they try to individualize defense in the league. And, like, who are the best defenders? Reinhardt's number one in the league among forwards this season. And Benson was 7th. Among all forwards. Then you look at the Selke voting, and Reinhardt finished 2nd. So, like, he's getting the reputation for that. But, you know, the hockey IQ, his shot got better over time. He got bigger. He was pretty scrawny, I think, when he first showed up. So
his skating, he wasn't fast enough.
That's right.
A lot, like, of stuff like that.
He is definitely elevated as he's gotten older. And, you know, that helps when you go to Florida, I think. But even that last year with the Sabres, 25 goals in 54 games. Like, he was starting, the goals were starting to come. And then they exploded.
Yeah. Samson Reinhardt. He also, when he got drafted, told us he preferred to be called Samson.
Yeah.
And that did not last in the NHL.
No,
he is
really
not. He is not called Samson in the NHL. He is Sam.
No, I've never heard it. Rhino is his nickname at Hockey Reference, by the way. I've also never heard that one. That's like the hockey pet name, though, isn't it?
You never heard Rhino? I've heard
Rhino?
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Yep. Samson.
But that's like what they would call him in the locker room, right?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He tried that out. He tried to tell people, I prefer Samson, and it just didn't. Everyone's like, okay.
Yeah.
And never called him that.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you are worried about Hughes's future, he's your plan B, right? You need a good skating, puck-moving defenseman. And in the long run, if it's not going to be Quinn Hughes, you know, I guess Bowen Byram would look good in that spot. He's obviously not Quinn Hughes, but he still brings that style of game, which clearly you need. Like, if you're going to survive, you need a defenseman who can skate. We know that. We look at every team, you know, that has success in any part of the game now. You have defensemen who can move. And is Byram that guy? I mean, does he have the track? He's certainly clearly an NHL defenseman. Does he have the track record to be the guy? I think so.
NHL reporter Chris Johnston.
Patrick
Johnston. Thank you. Talking about Bo Byram potentially, maybe, being a replacement for Quinn Hughes.
Oh,
that
you want Bowen Byram?
Aggressive.
Hang on, no, ready? You want Bowen Byram? I'm willing to talk. Okay, you want Bowen Byram? I know that there's an Elias Pettersson that you might want to start over organizationally when it comes to that player. Obviously, I know Bowen Byram alone's not going to get it done, but we could start there. That means conversations between Buffalo and Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I get a non-0% chance at landing Elias Pettersson.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Reason we played that back, though, is because the Norris Trophy was announced in that last half hour.
Yes.
Cale Makar wins the second time in his career. Very good season for him, although, depending on who you ask,
I feel like
the point totals shouldn't matter, but he did. The
point totals should not matter.
He did play a career high in games, 80, had 30 goals, and 92 points.
It is insane. Like, 92 points is kind of cracked.
It's kind of insane.
But also, Colorado was one of the better teams all throughout the year. He is a defensive presence on that team. He's eating the minutes. So there is something to that. I do still think that Zach Werenski should have won the award, because Columbus was relevant because of him.
Werenski also had a great season. Not 81 games played, 82 points, 23 goals. Really, really great season for him.
But also incredible in his own zone. He's going to get his defensive partner, Dante Fabro, a huge raise, whether it be with Columbus or another team in free agency. Buffalo Sabres, please sign Dante Fabro. Please.
That is one of Derek's big runs
at it. That's a right-handed shot. You don't have any of those on your team. And if you need to trade Bo Byram, for example, from the Clip, signing Dante Fabro is effectively replacing and more cheaper, cost-effective version of Bo Byram at that point versus an extension.
Yep. And then Rasmus Dahlin, also on the list, finishing sixth in voting, which is actually a career high for him. Previously, it had been finishing eighth in the 2022-23 season when he did get his current, still career high in points, 73 this year. Playing a few less games, 73, had 68 points, and again, finishes sixth in the voting. You do wonder, though, if the Sabres had made the playoffs, where he winds up in the voting. I don't think he wins.
He doesn't win. He's eighth. Like, let's be real about this, but this is the beginning.
Sixth this year.
Oh, no, I'm talking like 2 years ago. When they could have made the playoffs 1 point out, he ends up finishing eighth. But this year, if they made it, it would have been because of him, especially because they went on a 13-game slide and lost all the games that Dahlin was not playing in.
Yeah, it's a shame. You can't do that. Can't do that.
However, if the Sabres do win one or get to the playoffs, Dahlin becomes a top three candidate in Norris Trophy voting. Like, that is simple as that.
Yeah.
It would have to take a 92-point season from Cale Makar or a player of that sort to stop Dahlin from making it as a Norris Trophy winner if the Sabres make the playoffs, because they will look at it and go, oh my God, the Sabres made the playoffs. Rasmus Dahlin's really good. He was on our voter list at six last year when the team was bad and had a 13-game losing streak.
Well, it'll help, too, that
he's
like,
on our radar.
If they make the playoffs, there's no doubt Dahlin has like one of his better seasons ever. So it'd also be then easy to give him that award.
Or also, it's a standard season where he's now finished eighth and sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
on bad teams.
A standard Sabres season from Dahlin should be good enough, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what Dahlin's doing is good enough that nationally he's being recognized now.
Yeah.
Like, he's sixth on a bad Sabres team this year that was in last place in the Eastern Conference for almost the entirety of the year.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that man got sixth place in Norris Trophy. The minute the Sabres make it, even if it's a normal Dahlin year, say it's 70 points, and Buffalo makes the playoffs, I think people know how good he is defensively, too.
Yeah,
I
agree.
If there's a boost, say he gets to like, say he breaks a career high over 73 points.
Yeah, he gets like 75.
But the Norris Trophy is still supposed to be for the best all-around defenseman. Erik Karlsson broke it. Like everyone says, like Cale Makar. No. Erik Karlsson did this first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be real.
Did Erik Karlsson have a year where he broke 100 points? I feel like he...
John Karlsson did.
Yeah.
He had 110 one year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think. Let me double check.
Yeah, if it's 110, make sure about that. Because if you don't win a Norris Trophy winning with 110 points, that would be...
Erik Karlsson did 2022-23. He had 101.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, he's not good defensively, but man, him on the power play. So
yeah, no. Erik Karlsson, or John Karlsson never got 200 points in his career.
But
and also
I know
has
won
never
Norris.
Won a Norris Trophy. That's a shame. He finished second in 2020.
How did he not win one?
He finished second in 2020.
That's absurd.
It's tough.
When he had a career high 75 points.
I'm batting 1,000 today. If anyone heard the morning show, I had a
rough. Yeah, you're having a tough one.
I'm never going to turn this mic on again.
Buddy.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm sorry.
Buddy, you got to take a nap. Like, I don't
call
know.
It a day. Call yeah. it a day.
I don't know where I got 110 points from. I could have swore he did that,
call
but apparently
day.
Not.
Oh,
so,
no. Call it a day.
That's why I'm not stats guy.
That's why you're not stats guy. On the birthday thing, though, by the way, not the same age.
me and Arch Manning, April 27th. Just want to point that out there. I do. Don't give me the horns down, Joshua. Might win the Heisman this year. Show some respect. Playing Ohio State, by the way, at Ohio State, week one. I'm pretty excited. Josh, are you excited for that game? Wow.
Excited to watch Texas lose.
Wow. All right. All right, fair.
As promised, here on our final installment of Sabres Live this week, Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN. Hi, Dregs.
How are you doing? Another early week, okay? Just shortened week for
amazing.
You guys.
It's, I don't know.
I like it.
I don't know how we're doing it, but we're doing it. Oh.
It's like it's kind of like my world.
Break. Gotta give the crew a little bit of a break on some of the Fridays. They work, work the Bills and the Sabres, and it's a lot. So we gotta give them a break.
Well, I understand that. And I'm not here to point fingers or judge because I was a bit annoyed, disappointed that the panel at TSN wasn't traveling for the Stanley Cup final initially.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden you get used to having the 2 days off in between games, and it's kind of nice. So less complaining now, although I am getting on a plane tomorrow going to Edmonton for game 5 and the rest of the series. So it's been a good run to this point.
It's been a good run. Hey, let's start Sabres just because our boy Kevin Weeks, we all love Weeksy, and I feel like Weeksy gets sometimes some insider information.
He does. He does,
You know, he just put another one about Bo Byram yesterday. So I'm like, okay, like we've talked about him now for 3 consecutive weeks, but it's still in the news, and Weeksy keeps putting it out there. So Is this going to be figured out before the draft or before July 1? If we get to July 1, do we figure like, okay, they'll come up to a contract and he'll be a Sabres?
I think all the options are still very much open, right? And, you know, the more that this drags on, the more likely it seems that Bo Byram is going to be traded. But there's no pressure point here from the Sabres perspective. And, you know, Kevin Adams really loves this player and the depth that he provides on the back end for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, you look at him, we've talked about it on the show before, and you guys see him play on a nightly basis. Byram looks into the future and he sees power and he sees Dahlin and he wonders, all right, well, what's my path to be a number one or a top pairing defenseman, right? And he doesn't see that path, or at least that's my understanding. So, you know, the pressure point comes from the player, where the player says, look, you know, yeah, right now you have my rights. But my plan, my goal is, if I'm staying in Buffalo, it's going to be a short term. And the perfect scenario would be a 2-year deal, which walks them right into free agency. Well, that's far from perfect if you're Adams and the Buffalo Sabres. So the discussions are ongoing, and you can absolutely believe and know Adams had multiple trade conversations with other managers during the combine in Buffalo. There is a terrific level of interest, as there should be. So that's why I hesitate to say, yeah, the pressure points could be the draft and then July 1st, obviously. But again, the value of the player to the Buffalo Sabres matters, and they can see a future with Bo Byram. So if there's a deal that's done at the draft or before July 1st, it's a deal that Adams and the Sabres just can't push away from.
Anything else Sabre related?
No, I mean, I wouldn't call it quiet because, you know, it's really not a quiet time of year for any of the clubs around the NHL. And you know, as we've discussed in the past, I mean, Kevin is an active GM, right? He's one of those guys who likes to be in conversations, and doesn't mean that there's always a trade fit or there's an opportunity, but, you know, he knows what his mandate is. His mandate is to figure out a way to make the roster better, to get this team into playoff contention and into the playoffs next year. He knows that. He knows he has a shelf life as an NHL general manager. Everyone does. So he's not peering over his shoulder, worrying about that. He looks at his roster. He looks at what he probably sees as deficiencies in concert with Lindy Ruff, the head coach, and they're trying to improve. That's what they're trying to do. So I would expect that he's going to be active. And part of being active is making sure that you're staying on top of all the speculation and probably revisiting conversations, like I said, that you had at the recent combine.
I was going to say, if that's what's happening with the Sabres, We still have to keep our eyes on J.J. Paterka as well, and Jack Quinn and Ryan McLeod. Yeah. And there's other contracts there. Duffer brought up the limited somewhat cap space, right? If you re-sign all these players, you're there. Boom. You've used. So is there an appetite to say, okay, we're moving on from one of those forwards to free up maybe a little bit more space?
Yeah, maybe. But you're talking about younger players too. You know, I look at McLeod as an example. I'm not sure that he loved the way that he was utilized last year in Buffalo. But what does that mean? And how does that translate in conversations or discussions with Adams and the Sabres in general? The Paterka rumors, guys, look, they're always out there, right? And for reasons why, we can understand that. You know, there again is pressure and leverage that goes along with scenarios like his when your name is out there. But every time I check with the Buffalo Sabres, he's a player that we value. We see him as being a chip that can help us get better as he continues to develop and progress, right? Now, there's no such thing as a true untouchable. You can create, you know, that sort of debate around individual players, and Buffalo has a few of those guys. But if someone is making a call and they're offering you something that you just didn't think was available, that obviously makes you better, and one of those young guys has to be included, well, then that's something you consider. But I again, beyond wide and, you know, varying discussions, I don't think those guys have actually been pinpointed in trade talks at this stage.
And nothing at this point on a Tuck extension?
No, not yet, but... You know, again, a valuable part, right? Pretty key piece from a veteran perspective and all of that. So we'll see. I think that there's an appetite, obviously, from Buffalo's standpoint to get something done. But I don't, at least in fairness, I didn't check today on that. So I'm hedging here a little bit, but I don't think it's that close.
Okay, let's move on to the rest of the league. Marco Rossi is a name that has been talked about in Minnesota. He's a really good young player, but there has been some trade rumors around him, especially the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah,
maybe looking into Marco Rossi. So, what would be the price to pay for a player like Rossi if it was the Canucks, but also if somehow like the Sabres and other teams would be interested in a player like Rossi?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it feel like it's the old standard package? Like you've got to get a young player coming back the other way and probably a roster player. And now I say that, and I'm thinking of Billy Guerin's situation in Minnesota. And yes, there's been money freed up. No doubt about that. And then in addition to the salary cap going up, he's going to be able to spend and add some pieces. So, you know, maybe it isn't just the standard package. Maybe Guerin is willing to take on something that makes his club a little bit better in the now. But I would think, again, given the pedigree of this player, the expectation of what he's going to continue to develop into, you know, you're talking about a really good draft pick and probably at least a prospect going back the other way.
Darren, to your knowledge, has any team, had serious discussions on Pete DeBoer?
Not as of the earlier this week. Not as of earlier this week. There was a rumor, and it was just flat out a rumor, connecting him to Buffalo, believe it or not. I don't know if that one crossed your desk or not. But both guys said no. And in fairness, you know, Pete's got another year left with the Dallas Stars and $4+ million. So I just throw that out there because that's the contract. It's not like he's looking, you know, to cash in. But then you look around at some of the coaches who have, you know, Mike Sullivan gets that mega deal, obviously, from the New York Rangers and, you know, some of the other guys that got decent contracts. So I'm sure that DeBoer in the right circumstance would be willing to consider. But as of earlier this week, there had been no communication with another club. And I frankly, I think that because of how hard he invests in being an NHL head coach, it wouldn't be the worst thing for him to just take a break, right? And recharge as much as he can. And maybe wait you know, around Christmas, something happens. A good team isn't having a good year. And the owner's like, all right, we got to do something here. And, oh, geez, well, there's Peter DeBoer. He might help things along. So that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either for DeBoer.
Not only that, but Pete DeBoer started as an assistant coach in the OHL with the Detroit Junior Red Wings in 1994.
Yeah.
He has not missed a year of coaching since then. He has been coaching every single year the last 31 seasons. Like, that is, sometimes you need a break.
Well,
Jarmo Kekäläinen was on our show last week, and he said, hey, the break for him was
tremendous.
Good. It gave him a chance to see different things.
Well, and think of Paul Maurice. And Paul Maurice and Peter DeBoer are best friends, right? And Paul, you know, he's not so much talking about the break that he had, you know, when he left Winnipeg. But he definitely needed that. He needed that break to recharge and just take time and watch hockey. Number one, as a fan, and less so as a coach who's trying to analyze and break through structure and develop defensive strategies and all of that. And Paul will tell you that when Florida came calling, he felt reinvigorated and he felt like he was ready for a new challenge and went into that opportunity. And obviously he's done very well as head coach of the Florida Panthers. So I'm guessing that Mo has advised his good friend Pete on taking the time needed to just let things settle.
What's going on in Pittsburgh quickly of new ownership maybe coming in, like reports of Mario Lemieux last night.
Yeah.
Start to swirl that he and a group could be wanting to reinvest in and buy in some percentage
sounds
back
like
from the Fenway group. Like that's a big news in Pittsburgh.
No question, because Mario could be involved coming back in, right? I mean, that's enormous news. You know, not really news that Fenway was looking at selling off a chunk. That has been kind of percolating for a while, I would say. But I'm more intrigued at who is joining Mario at that ownership table. What is his group comprised of? You know, Mario has lots of money and tons of resources. But when you look around the National Hockey League now, all you see is billionaires with a B, multi-billionaires. And I don't think Mario has that, with all due respect, but obviously he has deep connections. So that's the next step of this. The reporting is sound. Mario most definitely wants to get more involved. And guys, maybe he's looking around and he's recognizing that. I read somewhere, was it yesterday, that season tickets in Pittsburgh have dropped considerably, you know, in the last year or so, right? So there is a business element to this and something that might be encouraging Mario to dive back into the ownership pool. So we'll have to wait and see to see who's got the deep pockets shouldering
Jagr
up with
Jagr was in
Mario.
Town yesterday, I guess, in Pittsburgh. Could a Jagr-Mario combination come back to save the Pittsburgh?
Throw Michael Jordan into the mix. I mean, they're buddies. They golf occasionally. I mean, let's just put a superstar group of former athletes together to buy in. How good would that be?
Really quick.
I mean, Jagr's got some money.
Really quick on Atlanta. Sounds like, you know, they're moving forward. I just, the reports that are out there have this new arena, like not in the downtown. So I immediately get a little concerned. Are you concerned? What are you thinking happens with Atlanta?
Yeah. Not front burner. And it's a term that we always get from the commissioner's office, not necessarily Gary directly, but generally when you talk to either Bill or Gary Bettman about the idea of expansion or what does that look like? And Atlanta comes up and Houston comes up, and believe it or not, a second team in Toronto comes up.
It should. It's always
it should. 100%. Well, you know why it comes up? Because there are still a number of current NHL owners who believe it's a no-brainer moneymaker, a second team in Toronto. So, you know, Bettman just wants us to pump the brakes on that, but he will acknowledge that the group in Atlanta is persistent and are continually keeping them updated on what they're doing. So I think that's why it hits the news reels more often than not.
Travel safe. Enjoy the Stanley Cup. We'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoy
you
Edmonton.
Guys. Yeah. I will. It's
Old
lovely home. In Edmonton this
Old
time
home
here.
For Dregs. We're back after
you guys
this.
Have a great weekend.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've got Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Edmonton taking on Florida. The series is still in Florida. Panthers had a 6-1 win in Game 3. And then also, from yesterday, a report from Kevin Weeks talking about Bo Byram, apparently generating plenty of interest in the market from multiple clubs. Look at that!
Yeah, that'd be okay. There's,
that'd be good.
There's something there, and honestly, I said it this week of, like, if there's interest in Byram, for example, the Kevin Weeks tweet there of, mm-hmm. you know, several teams being interested, if that gets me started with a conversation with Vancouver or Dallas.
About anything?
About any, like, if it's a conversation starter, mm-hmm. I know that Bo and Byram himself would not generate enough for, say, Elias Patterson or Jason Robertson, but can I convince a team to do something else?
Maybe. He did have a career high in points last year, 38. His previous highest total was 29, which is the season prior. So, I mean, you could definitely, he's 23, turning 24. You could absolutely convince a team his best years are up and coming. Now, the underlying statistics, I mean, we know as Sabres fans, when he was away from Darlene, were not great.
Also, you put any of the analytical charts, any of them up, to anybody.
Not great.
They are very huge warning signs.
But you can absolutely, I think, convince.
To which Sabres fans are now saying, no, put those away.
Yeah, but you can convince a team that his best years are ahead of him. We're just, we won't be able to sign to a long-term deal. And so we want to get anything for him.
Also, it does look like, you know, he's reading, like there might be a reading of the room. Mm-hmm. You know, if Byram does desire to be a top pairing defenseman with power play time,
yes,
he's not getting it within a Buffalo franchise that has Rasmus Dahlin, a Norris Trophy candidate that people are voting on now.
Finished fifth yesterday.
Sixth.
Thank you.
And Owen Power, a player who should. This is typically when defensemen start to flip that switch. Like at his age.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we talk about with Owen Power.
And like Power is going to be like, he's at that age where he's going to, like, you saw that switch flip with Dahlin.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not guaranteeing that sort of thing. Nothing is ever truly linear. But I would expect that there's something of a growth of with Owen Power this season.
There's at least some excitement, too, because it's not just the Bo Byram tweet from Kevin Weeks. There's also been reports, Elliot Friedman's talked about it as well on his 32
Buffalo
Thoughts.
Buffalo wanting to be aggressive.
Yep, and that's been the main feeling around the offseason.
Hiring Jarmo Kekalainen, yeah. a GM that is not afraid of making a big swing.
Mm-hmm.
So, ready? Say the Sabres even just want to keep Byram anyway. If teams are interested, it's still a conversation starter.
Yeah, it will get you in the room.
If teams are interested, it gets me a phone call, and I go, maybe not Bo and Byram, but I know you've got something going on over here. What's up? And that allows the Sabres. The amount of star power that is available or reportedly available right now for this offseason.
It should be a fun offseason.
I say this every year, and over the last 3 years, I've been disappointed, and I don't want to be again. But it's gonna have to be these words. If Buffalo does not come away with a substantial addition this year, I don't know if disappointed is even the right word anymore.
No, I'm well past disappointed. I'll shrug my shoulders and go, well,
it'll be, why is he here?
Okay, yeah.
And I do mean that about Kevin Adams in that sense of the amount of players that are reportedly available and the amount of assets that Buffalo still has for being, quite frankly, a bad team last year. You should be able to do something here. The equation makes sense. You still have prospects that are very highly regarded. You still have young players that may or may not have a fit within this team.
Mm-hmm.
You do still have the youngest team in the National Hockey League for like the third straight year. Get a big name. Not just because it's a big name, because of the impact said player should have for your team. And you have excess goods. We all know that the combination of Noah Oslin, Konstantin Hellenius, and Isaac Rosén are not all making the NHL roster.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. It is because there's not enough room. There are not enough sweaters.
And we've talked about that for 2-3 years now with all their draft picks of just like not all these.
The only difference is we could have added last year. We added Matt Savoy's name until he was removed from the equation.
Yeah. But that was the fun part. It's like, okay. Now they're starting to do it. They're adding NHL-ready guys for some of these prospects who may not move up.
Kulik broke through, and I think he's in a league of his own. Mm-hmm. The type of prospect that he is and the type of player that he can be, these other guys. It's like the Paterka, Krebs, Quinn group.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hit on at least a third of them on that next coming crop, and I think it's Hellenius. And I know that the general manager will think something else, but if he has a differing opinion on the names, that's fine. But he should still have the opinion of, not all these guys are going to make it. I need to sell the right one to a team that will give me something in return. Obviously, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
But Kekalainen will help with relationship building with him or, you know, having connections and, you know, having the experience to know what it's going to take to be more aggressive in this sort of stance. And this is where, yes, the fact that you had to hire a senior advisor for your general manager in his sixth year of being the general manager does look a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it is legitimately Kekalainen will be there to, at worst, help mold the last piece that Adams needs the major acquisition. And at best, he helps reform the rough edges on Adams and his relative inexperience when it comes to NHL front offices. At best, Kevin Adams becomes a good general manager because of the help that he's receiving.
Right, like all of a sudden we're sitting here going, actually, figured it out, we're good.
Yes. At worst, Kekalainen might take the job.
Which I think might be the thing anyways.
It might be the thing anyways. I'm under the suspicion that win or lose, Adams gets elevated to president and Kekalainen would become the general manager anyway.
Yep.
But that's not a bad thing. And especially if you win, well, there's going to be a lot more respect for the person getting promoted.
Yeah, it'll be the respect, because that's what it was 2 years ago now. It was the respect of like, hey, the Sabres are this young up-and-coming team. Everyone is like young in the organization, because even Granato was this, not young coach, but he was kind of a fresh face. Adams is a young, everything.
You make the playoffs, all the sins and all the nonsense that we've been talking about with Adams, it's all forgiven.
Kind of quickly go away.
I'm telling you that.
Kind of quickly go away in league circles, but then even if it goes to
within the fan base, like the wounds that are made by the last 6 years of Adams' tenure here strictly, they're all gone. Those wounds are healed. Everyone forgives you because you're the general manager that cracked the code.
And so even if he is moved to president of hockey ops, then you put in a guy like Kekalainen who, when he was hired, the excitement for most of us was that, ooh, I would take him as my general manager today, let alone as the senior advisor role.
Right.
So if you make the playoffs, the iron is hot again, and you look at Kekalainen's past, there is that feeling of a hate strike. I mean, hell, he was doing it with Columbus, whose iron maybe was never more than lukewarm, let alone hot. Let alone fully warm. And so, for me this offseason, you see guys like Jason Robertson might be legitimately available. Mitch Marner is going to hit free agency. We'll see if the Florida guys hit free agency. And then that's not even really mentioning outside of Ekblad.
There's no way
some
all
of the
three.
The defensemen hitting
there's no
free
way
agency.
All three of Florida free agents are retained.
You think?
One
right.
of Ekblad, Marchand, or Bennett has to. There's not enough.
Oh, yeah. Marchand probably
there's
so,
not
yeah.
enough money in the banana stand. There is a salary cap. Mm. Even with the question about the taxes thing, like there's still just not enough dollars. Let's be real here. And so one of those players is going to be a free agent. That's a big deal. That is a top-tier free agent. One of the three out of Florida. If there's more than one, look out.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like Brock Besser or Nikolai Ehlers or the trade market where you're hearing about Patterson, maybe that those conversations start up again from all last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or Robertson, who I think erroneously, like that's the wrong call. It's like when Calgary traded Matthew Tkachuk because they wanted to keep around Michael Frolik.
I thought Tkachuk just wanted out of Canada.
I don't remember the original story on this sort of thing, but it looked like bad asset management back then, and that's what this would be if you traded Jason Robertson. Because you signed Ilya Lyubushkin and Matthew Dumba to contracts that they did not need to be eating up the percentage of cap hits that they are. Past Matthew Dumba, yes. Current Matthew Dumba, no. Ilya Lyubushkin, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
Although I do.
Both of them being sat for like, what was it? Alex Petrovic or somebody. Cody Ceci's getting top 4 minutes in Dallas. Like, Jim Mill, congrats on winning GM of the year. I don't know how you did it with that decor.
Oh, man. I love the Pushkin. Dude, only for a gummy bear. That's it. I miss him. I miss him dearly. Only for that alone.
Ready? That and that alone, because if I gave you his cap hit number right now.
Oh, it's not good.
You would probably be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not good. I understand that. But the vibes were exceptional with Lyubushkin. It's just it's
a $3.25 million cap hit for Lyubushkin on a 3-year deal.
Oof. Oof. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, look, it's setting up again where it should be a busy offseason for the Sabres. They add that sense of credibility with Kekalainen. There are those young players that have have now kind of ascended to being in good spots. Dahlin and Thompson should be able to sell a project themselves. Thompson may be an Olympian for the United States. He did really well at the World Championships this year, ultimately leading the U.S. to winning gold. First time since, like, the Great War was still called the Great War. So
they have the pieces. They have, hopefully and potentially, a sense of credibility. Now it just becomes the sense of, can you sell it? You will probably have to overpay, specifically in free agency, maybe in trades as well. But when I see the Bo Byram news that, like, hey, you might have multiple teams wanting a piece of him, great.
Great.
Get people into a bidding war so you can get the best assets.
Or get enough people in a room together. Mm-hmm. Or have enough phone calls that there's conversations, multiple, going on. And it's not like you're going to get killed in the re-signing market right now. Your RFAs are Byram, Paterka, Kozak, Ryan McLeod. You want to make sure that one's tied up. Jack Quinn, that's not going to cost you as much as was once projected to.
Yeah.
Jacob Bernard Docker, Devin Levi. And that one's not even going to cost you as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, that a few years ago, that would have looked way different.
Yeah.
Would have looked way different.
And ready? UFAs, it's Reimer. That's the list.
Do you want to bring back James Reimer? Especially because you watched a lot of the Rochester series.
No. But also, if he comes back, the tandem is Lucan and Reimer.
Mm-hmm.
Do I trust UPL to rebound? I would like to. The personality of Lucan, and I really like the person.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know that that 1 year wasn't a fluke. The good year.
Right.
Is the good year a fluke? And I... It's funny because... You know, when you like play video games, or like you and me, we'll play board games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a risk taker.
Yep.
And this is exactly the nature of what I'm about to say. There's only one way to find out that that's not a fluke. I'm terrified of it.
Is to push him back out there and go, all right.
Yes.
Let's see what happens.
I'm tossing the grenade. Is it going to work? Or am I about to get retaliated against so harshly that, like... It's over.
Yeah. Looking at these two seasons last year.
There's only one way to find out.
This past year. I think that's right.
But it's scary. Like, to any fan, any listener that just heard me say that sentence, I get it. That's not a good feeling in your tum-tum that I just said those words.
No.
I hate it too. But there's only one way to find out. But it would be managerial malpractice if you let Levi be the backup in the NHL this year, especially after what happened in Laval.
Mm-hmm.
He was not good enough in that series. I do think that he could benefit from an entire season, and I mean an entire season, in the AHL. And that's not a bad thing. Goalies are slow cooks. Let them develop proper. I look at what Calgary did with Dustin Wolf, and I think that that's the right way to go about this. Did Levi start on fire when he first arrived here, when the Sabres were in the middle of a playoff push? Yes.
Yeah.
He was at his best within the NHL level in those stakes, which is incredible to me. It tells a little bit about the character of the person.
And that was him at his most raw, green, whatever right. You want to call it, and he came right
but
in.
But what choice did you have?
Because
it was Lukanen not doing hot.
That was Lukanen, you could argue, his worst season.
He was getting wins weirdly, but like weirdly. They weren't a byproduct of him because the Sabres were...
They were scoring a mile a minute.
Yeah, they were the third best scoring team in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
So they had the goal strength to support or even overcome the weaknesses. Lukanen has one good year, oddly enough, and cruelly enough, it's when the Sabres can't find the back of the net to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think, okay, there is a hockey god out there and they hate us. But again, there's only one real way to find out what you actually have with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. If some team wants to overpay for Luukkonen's services and you get back an established goaltender in return, that's awesome. Where is your copy of NHL 25?
Yeah, it's unrealistic to think that it could happen.
Yes.
Especially because other teams will have seen Luukkonen. I mean, you look at these two seasons, 23-24 and then this past year, 24-25. He faces nearly the same shots, 1470 and then 1489. Saves, 1338, 1320. but it's his save percentage in 23-24, 9-10. His goals against, 2.57, compared to last year, 887, 320. I mean, it's...
I would argue...
He faces nearly the same amount of games and the same amount of shots, but it is a radically different season for him.
And I would argue that the defensive core was better last year.
And that's the worrying part.
I didn't have Eric Johnson on this roster last year.
Yeah.
Or this past year. Two seasons ago, he was doing that with, quite frankly, the worst bottom pair defenseman in the league.
But that is where the apprehension to do this comes from, and why, you know, I bring up, would you want to bring back James Reimer? Because Reimer was playing pretty well last year. He kind of, towards the end of the year especially, sort of became more their sure-handed goalie. He's not 42, 43 years old. I mean, he's in his late 30s, but there is some sort of feeling there that you could push him out there and be okay. You could survive it. They're in such an awkward position, and this is why I still thought Levi was so important to where they were going, because of where they'd put themselves in the NHL, you know, mind was not good. And I've said this now for 2 years. After you missed your window to sign a bunch of free agents or to get guys that wanted to come there so you could trade for them, what have you, you needed to win with this group, or you're starting it over with another group and no one's coming to you still. And Levi was a big important piece to that, because if he hit, like we saw in, what was it, seven games? He plays towards the end of the year, five, seven games, whatever it was. He showed, okay, you might have a goalie next year, plus they're scoring like the wind. Here we go. But then he comes in and is really not good from the word go. And then Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen goes in and it's like, okay, well, he's much better. They can't score, though. Quinn gets hurt. Cousins vanishes into whatever he became. They have run into bad luck, but also they've made this bed, and it is much harder for them to get out of it. They can't make that big trade to get them out of it all the time. And I want Adams to be more proactive. Don't get me wrong. Him sitting on his hands for that losing streak this year, he's openly acknowledged he would do it differently.
Yeah, he acknowledges openly, like, that's probably not how it should have been done.
And I know Paul's brought this up too. I do wonder, though, just how much more difficult it is for the Sabres
when it comes to
than it is for everybody else.
When it comes to the Reimer question, the last piece on this, could I find another free agent goaltender that is effectively James Reimer? Yes.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Probably. The first name I think of is, like, David Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
Riddick available, last played with the LA Kings. Could I get another guy like that? Could I get Freddie Anderson on a cheaper deal to be the backup?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are legitimate questions that one should be asking at that point. It doesn't have to be Reimer. No. Do I need them to sign another goaltender? Yes. Absolutely. You can't have the same thing that you did last year, because, again, that is managerial malpractice. Steve just tweeted at me, would you trade UPL for John Gibson? Probably not. That contract and Gibson's declining play over the past several years is enough to turn me off on that.
Looking at last year, he only played 29 games.
Mm-hmm.
He
was hurt to start the year. That's why Anaheim, oddly enough, claimed Reimer,
mm-hmm,
and then put him back on waivers for Buffalo to even get him back.
Yeah, the games played is a big part here, because his save percentage is .911, goals against .27. But in the year's previous 46 games, 53, 56.
But I'm paying something extra to get John Gibson.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's worth it. I would rather take the risk and find out what I actually have there. And then if I have to effectively move on from him to prepare for Devon Levi, who will have ideally had a whole season in the AHL.
That's big of it. Yep. It's a big part of it, is that you hope at some point he is like wine, and all this time in the AHL has pushed him to that point.
But goalies typically are.
Mm-hmm. By the Luukkonen, way, Gibson's cap hit, $6.4 million.
Yeah. By the way, Luukkonen did not really have that authentic stage either.
Right.
His time in Rochester was very short.
And wasn't particularly good either.
And it wasn't good. So, again,
I need to know that that year was not an anomaly. I need to know. It's dangerous. Could we be staring at year 15 down the barrel at that point? Maybe. But I need to know. And especially if it's my last year as a general manager, potentially. Might as well go down swinging with the contract extension that I signed, right?
Right. Now, I do wonder, though, because we've brought up the kind of the feelings of what if he – win or lose, Adams is elevated to president of hockey ops, and then Kekalainen goes in. Then there really wouldn't be this fear of, well, this is my last year, we got to go. It would just be the continuation of, I'm still with the organization. We're still trying to win. I do get worried that because Levi had such a good season up to the Laval series – that they're going to take, and maybe this is the correct way to go, but they're going to take the bulk of the sample size and go, no, he's ready to cook. He went up against a good Laval team, didn't have a great series, but you know what? He's ready to go, and we're going to get him up there. Because to be fair, I think just based off how the organization is operated, they do prefer Levi to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Just my feeling.
Organizationally, yes.
Just my feeling on it. So I could see them going, no, we're bringing Levi up. For the bulk of the season, he was very, very good. He had a bad Laval series. We're going to bring him up. And if that's their reasoning to it, I can't totally argue that.
But again, this comes back to one thing as well, though. Something has to be done about the main roster.
Yep.
Away from net. Something has to be done. There are enough names out there now, be it free agency or trade market rumors, and you still have the pieces. Yes, I know you have to deal with the fact that nobody wants to, nobody with a no-move clause dares to come here. I understand that, and that is an unenviable position that you are in. What can we do about selling someone on that? Or you find there are still enough trade targets.
Oh God, yeah.
That don't have them, or they're about to kick in July.
It should be an exciting offseason.
You have time to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.